Blog Talk Radio.
Another edition of Sports Tonight, broadcasting live from Patty's Bar at Tropicana Field. She's pouring drinks like crazy up her, guys. I mean, Rays are home 18 in the last 21 games right now. Miami tonight. Then Seattle comes in for four. Friday night, 7:10. Saturday, 4:10. The Rays are constant that day. And Sunday's a great pitching matchup. Chris Archer versus King Felix. And for those days up there, on the Friday, you get a Rays beach towel. The concert for Seattle, 4:10. And then for Seattle. Yes, sir.
No, he's talking, sorry.
Okay. Hello. Then we... Yes,
hello.
Frank, you're still there. Yeah, there's Roger. Hey, Roger, right to Walking Project. Right to Walking Project. Roger Henry broadcasting live from Patty's Sports Bar down here at Tropicana Field. And Rays are going through some tough times, but guys, I'm going to say, remember the Phillies and before they went in the championship rounds and the playoffs, what did Dave Cash say to those players?
Yeah, Dave always had the slogan, "We can."
Yes, we can. And I emailed this to Rick Vaughn with the Dean of Public Relations Directors for Baseball, and I emailed that to him today from the office and said, "Yes, we can." He walked by me, gave me a smile.
Hey, Tommy, before we get into the program, we want to dedicate this program to the men who lost their lives at Normandy. It was a terrible, terrible loss for America, and not many people know that there was a practice run the day before. The landing craft were destroyed. There was many destroyed. There was 4,500 more guys who were destroyed and killed, because the protective vessel that they had was supposed to arrive to protect them was forced back to port, and they were sunk by the Germans. So we want to make sure that we don't ever forget the guys that gave up, gave it all up for the United States.
Frank, yes, you're exactly right with that comment, but at the same time, lost more people with the practice run than they did in the actual run.
Right.
Yes.
Hard to believe.
Yes. Don Walker, like Philadelphia legend, and or Atlanta legend, Don Henderson, Roger Henry. Guys, welcome aboard, and it's been a crazy week down here at the Rays. They got 18 out of 21 games at home, and I said at the beginning part of the show, guys, this is a talented ball team. They lost Will Myers for 2 months right now. Helixson's going to be on the rebound right now. It's in a start in Tampa rehab start, but I'm not going to give up on this Tampa Bay Rays team. You know, strange things have happened in baseball, guys.
Well, they're really
right,
going to have to struggle.
I'll tell you what, they're a heck of a lot better than our Philadelphia Phillies, who really just look so sad and lookless that you just wonder. I even put out to a couple of friends last night on Facebook, I'm just wondering if they're rebelling against Ryan Sandberg because, you know, he wants to do basics and everything because it's a disgrace the way they're playing.
Oh,
Roger,
no.
I emailed to Henry this afternoon. I haven't had a chance to talk to him or I haven't heard from him yet. But that fiasco when Chase Utley was on first base and he's telling the guy, yelling and waving at the runner on third base to take the lead because they had the shift on. And, I mean,
right.
It must have gone for, what, 15 seconds, 20 seconds. The third base coach is standing right there. You got Larry Bowe in the dugout. I mean, that's impossible. I mean, what's going on?
And that's Revere, you know, the center fielder who does not have a good arm. And Ruben Amaro said, oh, he's a good contract guy, you know, because they have him for a number of years. Well, you could be a great contract guy who can't make contact with the ball and take pitches and get walks. And the guy now they have a batting ninth. And also, you know, on a sad note, hopefully it's okay. I don't know if you saw the replay last night of Darren Ruff going into the wall at Lehigh Valley.
Yes, I saw that. Oh, my God.
I did not see that.
Was that unbelievable?
Oh.
I did not see it. Tommy, you saw it?
Tommy there?
Tommy.
Yes.
And Tommy's going in and out.
Right,
I don't know what.
Tommy, you saw Darren Ruff go into the wall, didn't you?
Yes, that was very. Oh, I know how he got up and walked away from it. It's a tough play.
Well, yeah, he has stitches and a sprain, but I mean, with the way his legs hit that wall, I mean, you figure he might have had two broken legs.
Yes, and wow. Kind of like the welcome to the program. Oh, he's on a winning streak right now, head coach of the Tampa Bay Storm, Mr. Lawrence Samus. Lawrence, welcome to the program. That coffee was good today at the break room.
Oh, it was great today.
It's amazing what
everything,
winning,
everybody is smiles, Lawrence, when you win.
Oh, that's right. The coffee tastes better, too.
The machine wasn't jammed up today. We got our coffee, Don, and Roger, and Frank. It poured real good. Half the time we go in there, the machine's all jammed up, right?
That's right.
And there should be Wawa coffee in there, Lawrence, if I have it, if I had it my way.
Well, Lawrence, give us all the positives from the. When you win, you got a lot of positives. What do you say?
Well, you know, it's always easier when you win. The guys are very enthused, and they're looking forward to this weekend. We get to face the soul again for the third time this season, and we're looking for a little bit of revenge from the last game that we played.
Coach, I think at this point we really need to let our fans know that it's a 5 o'clock game, so we get people there to support us, because God knows everybody loves the Storm, but we don't want them coming at 7 o'clock.
That's right, and it's an early start, but I like that. The faster we get on the field, we're a little bit hot right now, and the guys are they're very in tune, and they're paying attention to every detail, all the coaching tips, and I'm ready to see them perform at 5 o'clock on Saturday.
Did you get the kind of reps you wanted for all three units, the kicker, kicking unit, the special teams, offensive, defense, did everything come together for you?
Yeah. These past 2 weeks, everything has been working just as planned. The guys have, especially on special teams. We had two big special teams plays the last 2 weeks by James Harrell. He's done a great job on special teams, and all the guys have. The offense is, you know, we're starting to actually click on all cylinders at times. We got off to a little bit of a slow start the third and the second drive of last game, but after that, kind of kicked it in high gear and got control of the ball game. So, and defensively, we've been playing very well. That's the credit to Coach. Coach K and Coach Hovan's been doing a great job with our guys on the defensive side of the ball.
I'll second that motion, Lawrence. I mean, we're playing some great football. I mean, Philadelphia comes in a golden opportunity to get back to 500, and if Orlando loses, we'll be a tie for first place. That's a great opportunity coming Saturday at 5 o'clock.
Oh, yeah, it's a great opportunity right now because now we have the – you know, we're putting the pressure on Orlando. You know, Orlando, but we're forcing them to keep pace. And you know, if we keep pace with them and they keep pace, we play head-to-head, and that's a big game in our house in a couple of weeks. So, you know, with that said, we're in a good place right now as an organization and as a team.
I think it's great for the 5 o'clock game, like Frank was saying, about because you guys want to get up on Saturday morning. The players want to go right to that field because they're practicing out there. It's a great time for the 5 o'clock game, and plus to get home early to enjoy the rest of the evening after we beat up in Philadelphia.
That's right. You're exactly right.
Coach, is it a big help for you to have played the same team only a couple of weeks ago? Is that an advantage? You sort of know what they're going to do, and they know what you're going to do.
Yeah, actually, I think it's this game here, and it's just like you know, in the previous week, we had a chance to actually scout them a little bit more. We'll change up some things. It'll be a little bit of a chess match. They kind of know exactly what we're all about, and we know exactly what they're all about. It's going to be a bit of a chess match between both coaching staffs. But with that said, I don't think it's really an advantage to either team at this point going against each other three times because we've seen almost everything. We've seen all the personnel, and it's just a matter of who executes the best. And that's why.
Jimmy, they just signed. They either had one or two signings within the last couple of days. Do you know much about those the fellows that were signed?
One is a receiver. They have changed a little bit in their personnel with the receiver core. I don't know if Mac Daniels has left and went to the CFL, but I don't know his status, number 19. But they have another 15. He played very well last week against the San Antonio Challenge team. So he had a big ball game. And, you know, of course, they have Tiger Jones and you know, they have their quarterback in their offensive line, and it's very solid. So, with that said, we got our hands full, but, you know, I think that just knowing them, knowing what they're all about, it doesn't matter. They probably changed just a couple of pieces, but with that said, they basically the same team.
Coach, the first time we played them, we were very healthy, and they seem to be more lost on the field than I've ever seen them. The second time we played them, we were down three or four players, and they came back and made us look bad. Is everybody healthy for this game?
Yeah, I think the main thing the second time we played them, and I think they're basically concerned that we have Randy Hibbert back at the helm at quarterback. The first time we played him, we had Hipper at quarterback. The second time, we were a little bit down. We were trying to get – Hipper was injured, and we tried to get a guy in 2 weeks ready to play for us. It came back to really, you know, haunt us in the second half of the ball game. But we hung in there the first half. You know, we were just down 1 point. And they were at full sprint, and we were down 1 point, you know, at a time. So I'm pretty sure they're a bit concerned with Hippert back at the quarterback position, and we have all our weapons on offense now. And it should be a very good competitive game on Saturday.
Good. Good.
I'm so excited. I wish it was Saturday afternoon, Lawrence. I'm telling you, I'm so excited. And also the way the play of the offensive line the last couple of games have been protecting Randy tremendously, and they were scoring points up there, and I give that credit to yourself. He's hanging with the offense, have the offensive line being protective and motivated. It's fantastic.
Yeah, you know, we're going to stay the course. It's a process. We know we have some young guys that we're getting ready to play, but they're starting to play as a team, and that's the main thing. At this point of the year, you want to be playing and playing together and playing smart. Our guys, they're coming to grips. T.T. Colliver, a veteran receiver, been playing many years, and has really helped them actually grow up and mature as a unit on the offensive side. And that's just the key. That's the key. If we just continue to mature and develop as a unit and one solid unit, and I think we'll get better and better each week.
Wow, that is just so fantastic. And like you said before, second half of the year, that's where your championships have built up. And look at the way we're playing the second half of the after the second half of the year. This is the way this championships have built up. The team unity is right there. The confidence right there. And I think you've done one heck of a job right now. Get these guys together. I think a great football.
Yeah, it doesn't matter how you start. It matters how you finish.
Yes.
And as long as you got a chance to get into the tournament and actually have something to play for this time of the year, it's a good deal. And I think that our guys are right there. They're right within striking distance of everybody in the league. And I'm expecting good things to happen come Saturday.
Lawrence, in your division, is there any particular team that has surprised you or surprised you either way, the fact that they've won as well as they have or lost as much as they have?
Repeat that again.
Is there anybody in your division that has surprised you by playing much better than you thought, or is there anyone in your division that is playing lesser than you thought?
In our division, nothing. I kind of figured that we'll all be there and together. It's kind of surprising that Jacksonville is not as strong as they used to be. I think that they had a lot of guys coming back. But one of the surprising things on our side is the Cleveland Gladiator team. They have really failed as a unit. Brand new quarterback. But they pretty much have the same guys. And I think the Cleveland Gladiators and Stevie Thong, he's really done a great job with those guys. And it's credit to them. They just lost their first game this week. And sitting at 9-1, we didn't, you know, that kind of surprised everybody in the league.
Well, I tell you one thing. I can't wait for Saturday. We owe that. I was telling Ben today, we have to beat that logo. He beat Philadelphia. But it was fun, Lawrence. I got to tell you a funny story. Ben was telling me today that he has a Bradford White water heater in his home. I said, and that's the sponsor of the show, Bradford White water heater. So I said, Ben, you got to cover it up this week. Pretend you don't have it. Then after we beat Philadelphia, then you cover it back up and call Bradford White up.
I hope the sponsor didn't hear that.
Only Tommy. Well, I'm glad to see, though, that Tommy's been working out with the team all afternoon, because I can tell by the, you know, just by the way he pants.
Look at too many field goals, I guess. I don't know. Well, Lawrence, last week I had to be kicking field goals. I'm like, oh, my God, done. I barely hit the post. Everything was right, wide right, and I said, that's it, Lawrence. So put it away. I'm sticking to golf. That's it.
All right. I think that's your best game anyway.
Yeah, thank you. I'm sticking to golf. I'm not going to put any kicking the toe up there enough. But, no, I think it's going to be a great game Saturday for a 5 o'clock kickoff at the Tampa Bay Times Forum. I just can't wait for it. It's going to be a great, great night. And we're all ready for it, Lawrence. I looked at the guys today. We're all set. We're ready to roll.
That's right. We're ready to roll. And, you know, we're ready to we're up for the challenge. I think our guys are up for the challenge. We're just looking at one game at a time, just like we said last week. One game at a time, you know, and one quarter at a time, one play at a time, and just execute. All we have to do is keep executing and keep playing at a high level all three phases of the game, and things will go well for us.
Well, Lawrence, keep it rolling.
Yes, sir, Lawrence. Right, thanks for the time today. Lawrence, is that one song? Ain't no stopping us now. We're on the move.
Good luck, Coach. Good luck this week.
All right. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Wow. I mean, guys, 5 o'clock kickoff. But what a better way to spend the afternoon and watching an arena football game and watching the Philadelphia Soul and Tampa Bay Storm play, which is wonderful up there, guys. I'm looking forward to that 5 o'clock kickoff. I get home early for a little bit.
And have a nice dinner right there at the venue. That's great.
That's beautiful. Have a nice dinner at the venue. You got the clubs are open up there, and you get a Chase Club ticket for $45. You get the dinner, drink, complimentary dinner, food, and tailgate style. You got beer. You got wine and soda and coffee right there. So you can't beat that. You know, if you're,
and you got all the air conditioning you want.
Yes. At 72 degrees. You park on the street like Cartwright Street in the old Spectrum, and you can walk to the arena.
No, the old arena had conditioned air, not air conditioning.
That's right. A wind tunnel, right? The old Spectrum had a wind tunnel up there. And guys, I remember one day, remember the old Spectrum vets stadium? I'm coming back from a fire game one night. And some Philadelphia fan thought he was real smart, put a police barricade cone atop a Connie Mac. I said, oh, my God. But guys, it's a great moment for hockey. Saturday when Frank and I would be watching the football game. 10 years ago, on that same day, it's a Monday night, Tampa Bay won their first Stanley Cup. And the talk around Tampa Bay, why are you voting for Marty, Brad Richards, and Dominic Moore? I'm going to say, Marty St. Louis won the cup for the Tampa Bay area. He played all those years in Tampa. He wanted to go back to where his wife wanted to be. He can't fault the man for that. And it's going to be a great series. L.A., and this is what the NHL wanted, Don, Roger, Frank. L.A. versus New York, number one and two TV markets.
Yeah, first time since, I think, 1982 that a New York team has played an L.A. team. That was the Dodgers, of course, and the
right.
Yankees.
Oh,
back in 82, but it's the first time the two cities have competed against one another in a championship series.
In hockey, that was, I remember in 72, Willis Reed and then Reggie Jackson, the same thing up there for baseball up there. This is what the NHL wanted, guys. L.A. versus New York and the two major markets. I would rather have seen Chicago have been a better series because Chicago was physical and the goal scorers are more stars than Chicago, but Mike Rich has got a chance for another cup for the Kings.
Well, I was rooting for Chicago only because of Scotty. I think his son has done a tremendous, tremendous job in Chicago. And so I was sort of rooting for him, but I have to be very honest. You know, when you jump out 2-0 and then you lose a game in the National Hockey League, you're not the better team. So I think the better team won in the end.
Good point, Don. Did we lose Tommy?
I think we lost Tommy again.
No. Guys, I like to welcome a good friend of the program, does a great job for the Tampa Tribune, covering the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. But I know his first love is hockey. He was good on that golf course ASAP to give him summer lessons. Mr. Roy Cummings. Roy, good evening. How are you doing this evening, sir?
Tommy, gentlemen, how's everybody tonight?
Good. How are you, Roy?
Doing well. Thanks. Doing
Roy,
well.
Let's jump away from football at the outset and talk about this Stanley Cup, because I know you have a lot of interest in hockey as well as in football.
Well, I do, and I'll tell you what, I'm very excited about this particular series coming up. I think it's a great final. I think it's a great final for the league, actually. New York, L.A. markets has something special, something the NBA doesn't have. It's something the NFL will never have, or, well, has never had for a while. I think it's a great opportunity for the league to showcase itself. A lot of good storylines in this particular series. I think it's a very, I don't think there's any question that the Kings are the better team going into this thing, but I also don't think there's any question that the Rangers have the better goalie, and I think we all know from our experiences covering this game that a hot goalie can win you a championship. It's why, I tell you what, I've been asked a few times now, who do you think is going to win the Cup, and I could see the Kings winning it in four or five because I think they're the stronger team. But at the same time, I can see the Rangers win it in four or five because they've got the better goalie, and which is why it'll probably end up going seven games. And, at the moment, it'll be whoever gets the break and or makes the break for themselves. So I think we're in for a great series. I'm anxious to see it get started. Looking forward to it tonight for sure.
Right. Doesn't remind you of 2004. It's been 10 years since we won the Cup. Rangers come in there, and Calgary's favorite over the Tampa Bay Lightning. You have a hot goal to the Nikolai Habibou. Nikolai Kenrick Lundqvist has done the Olympics during this playoff series. And a special effect for me, Roy, Marty St. Louis, Brad Richards are friends of mine, and Dominic Morris. I got to pull for the Rangers.
I guess there's a part of me that is kind of pulling for the Rangers. And because of, a couple of the guys you mentioned there, obviously Brad Richards and Dominic Moore, good Lightning guys back in the day. And, obviously Marty's there, depending on how you feel about his situation. But I'll tell you this. I think what this series also shows us is how important it can be in the NHL to make a good deal at the trade deadline. You've got a team in the Rangers picked up two very important pieces here, Rick Nash and obviously Marty St. Louis here at the end. And on the other side, Marian Gaborik comes over to L.A. So both teams, I think, made very important deals there at the trade deadline that got them an extremely important piece. And
they have to get Nash back in play, I think, Roy. He sort of disappeared a little bit in the last series.
Yeah, he has. But you know what? He's a very important piece of that piece of the puzzle there. And, I think the thing is, what they need him to do is they need him to park his butt in front of that net and get physical there because this is a very physical LA Kings team, and it's the one reason why I think they're probably favored in this series. I haven't looked to see if if any Vegas odds have been put on it. I'm sure they have.
Eight to five
for LA.
Yeah,
yeah. I'm
most
not surprised.
Most people thought it'd be 2-1, but it was 8-5 yesterday.
Yeah, I think that's about right. I mean, I'm not an odds guy, but I don't think it's a 2-1 thing. But I think 8-5 sounds about right because it tells me that the Kings obviously are the better team, probably going to win this thing. But the Rangers can certainly make it interesting because they've got some pop, and the key is getting a second line going. The Kings have had that second line, that 70s line, going for them, along with Kopitar and Gaborik. And, you've got two lines like that going for you. You're going to be pretty devastating. So we'll see how it works out, but it's going to be a heck of a series, I think.
Yeah, but remember, in that last game, they started their fourth line, which was a real surprise.
Yeah, well, you're going to see a lot of that, I think, because, the matchups are going to be important here. The Kings are going to have to find a way to shut down Marty St. Louis and Brad Richards and whoever's ends up being the scoring line for the Rangers. Whereas the Rangers might have a little bit difficulty trying to match up against those two lines for the Kings, because if you put your top checking line out against Gaborik and Kopitar, all of a sudden you're leaving Carter and Taillefer and those guys around. You don't want to do that, so you got to have somebody checking them. So you have to see a lot of defense out of the offensive lines as well for the Rangers this time around.
I just hope the Rangers win it for Marty, Dominic Moore, Brad Richards. And it wouldn't be something if they're playing on that day, great day in Tampa Bay history, June 7th. Wouldn't it be funny if they'll be playing on Saturday night, won't they? I think they'd be playing Marty and Richie playing on that same night 10 years ago for a Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I guess that'd be great, for Richie. I'm telling you what, guys, I'm gonna have a hard time rooting for Marty in this thing. I'm a forgiving soul, believe me. I just still think that what he did to this organization is terrible, and all at the wrong time, and, you know, he put himself ahead of the team, and I just don't think anybody who ever wears the C can do that. But he did it. It's in the past. I suppose, you know what, I thought he'd be rooting hard for the Rangers, simply for Richie and Dominic Moore and maybe even Benoit Pouliot a little bit. But I don't know, Marsh Pink got me, probably got me rooting for the Kings a little bit.
I agree with your opening statement 100%. I think that a little bit of an edge, and in my view, that little bit of an edge becomes very big in the National Hockey League when you have a goaltender, you know, that is playing the way he's playing right now. And so I think they have the edge there. But to me, the Rangers can take no penalties because, I'll tell you, the penalty-killing team is not going to be able to stop the Kings.
I agree with that. That Kings power play is devastating now, guys.
Oh.
That is one heck of a unit. And, we'll see how it works out. But I'll tell you what, I think the Rangers have quite a battle ahead of them here, you know. There's no doubt about it. It's not going to be an easy go for them. Their special teams are going to have to make a big difference. So we'll see how it goes. But, I think we all know that the best penalty killer is your goaltender. So I think Lundqvist gives them a big edge there as well.
Right.
I think you're right about that. I'm going to say Rangers in six. What do you think, Roy?
I can see that happening, yes.
Wow.
I'm going to say Kings in six or seven. I guess put me on the spot. I'll say Kings in six. But we'll have to wait and see a couple of weeks from now who is right here.
Well, you know, I very seldom go along with commissioner's press conferences, but I heard Gary Bettman on Tuesday talking about the National Hockey League, the status, what the NBC contract meant to them, and having the exposure they've gotten now nationally with TV. And the other thing that he emphasized, which I have to agree, and that is that right now the National Hockey League, they don't have any patsies. Baseball has 100 patsies. Football has 100 patsies. Basketball has 100 patsies. The National Hockey League, every game can be won by somebody. I mean, not necessarily a favorite.
That's true.
No, I agree.
Good point.
It's a very good point. Yeah, I've been saying that for a while. You know, I've been asked many times, you know, what do you think is better, the NBA playoffs or the NHL playoffs? And I don't think there's any question. I really think that in the NBA, I think the playoffs are really just an extension of the regular season. I don't see the intensity in the games really ratcheted up that much more. Whereas in the NHL, with the overtime, with the sudden death and everything else, there's no question. You see games now in the NHL that you just don't see in January. You don't even see them in March. The degree of intensity, the hitting. I'll say this. I'm surprised, and again, I haven't followed it real closely in terms of what's being written outside of, the Associated Press. I haven't looked at the Toronto Sun or, you know, reread TSN or watched a lot of that to hear what they're saying about the officiating. But I kind of like, I shouldn't even say kind, I really like the way they've just basically let these guys play. Police it yourself, boys. You know, if somebody does something blatant, we're going to call it. But you know what?
Right.
Go out there, hit to your heart's content, keep it as legal as you can, and we'll let you go at it, because I think it's made for some extremely entertaining hockey. And, it's one of the reasons I think that when the Lightning look at these series right now, they got to look at it. Boy, we got a long way to go if we want to compete at this level, because those guys just aren't, they're not quite there yet. Physical level of play in these playoffs has been exceptional, and I'll be surprised if it doesn't continue here in the finals.
Roy, I could agree with you 1,000,000% about that, because the first round of the playoffs were there. Now you get the finals round and the Stanley Cup final, and nothing better than a Stanley Cup championship for the final series. These guys are hitting. The referee's been expertise. Donna's crack up when I'm saying that. The referee has been fantastic. It's been a great playoff series between each one of these teams, and it's been fun to watch. And this is what Commissioner Bettman and whole teams want to see. this camaraderie of fans getting together, having a good time watching the hockey games and good officiating also.
Tommy, well, I think the other thing you have to keep in mind is that a few years ago, the National Hockey League began to peak, just like it is right now, and then they turned around and had to strike. So this time, they're in a key position right now where they've got all their contracts, they've got everything in line, and as the commissioner said, all they should do is improve the league from here on up, not go backwards.
Great point.
I totally agree.
Go ahead.
I'm sorry.
No, that is a great point, and I think that he hit the nail on the head. And let's face it, look at the other sports. You know, baseball, when they had they eliminated that World Series, they had the big strike. It took them a long time to recover, and, of course, then they had the problem with drugs and steroids. And the NFL, they had some problems, but fortunately they were able to nip it in the bud, and they got a 10-year contract. That's how you build success in any organization or any team or any league, if you have stability.
Great
point,
Roger. I can't agree with you guys more about that. You just build up for – that's why these playoffs for the NHL, last year playoffs are great. Now you're building on last year's success. The two major markets, you got great players now. Whoever wants his cup should market their players in the NHL brand. And a good one down here is Steven Stamkos, Ben Bishop, to modernize, to get these guys out in the community, out be focused in the National Hockey League.
Roy, let me ask you this question.
I'm anxious to see what the ratings are like. You know, you've got New York, you've got L.A., the top markets. You know, I would hope that the fans in the other cities, you know, from Tampa to Columbus to Vancouver, you know, down to Phoenix, I would hope that they would, you know, tune into this as well. We all realize, unfortunately, that the NHL is something of a niche sport. You know, it's got its niche audience. But I would love to see that audience continue to grow, and I would just like to see, you know, I'd love it if the ratings for these games could at least match the NBA. I may be asking a lot. The NBA just gets so much more attention from the ESPNs of the world and a lot of national radio hosts. Things like that, but I'll tell you, the NHL, it's, for my money, it's always been a better game. I think the intensity of the game, as I said, is just exceptional. And, you know, I hope people get a chance to see that in this series. So I hope they put on a good show for everybody. And if people miss it, well, it's their loss. But hopefully a lot of people will tune in and maybe catch the fever. It'd be great to see.
Roy, I'd like to go back to one point you made in the beginning, which I thought was right on target. Unfortunately, I think you're 100% right. You watch the regular season and you watch the playoffs, and I guess the same thing, you could say the same thing about basketball, but I haven't followed the NBA basketball playoffs that closely. This last series, maybe the Spurs will make it interesting, but the unfortunate part about it is they play so many games now that it's just impossible to have the regular season really, you know, capture the attention of everybody.
Yeah, you're right. And I'll tell you what, I would be a fan, except for football, I would be a fan of seeing every league reduce its schedule by about, you know, 10 to 15%. I would love to see, I wouldn't mind baseball going back to, you know, maybe 145 games or something. I wouldn't mind hockey dropping it back to 70 games.
Right.
You know, I think there's something to be said for that because, you know, the problem here, obviously, is that every owner's trying to make a buck, and right now all budgets are, you know, based upon 82-game schedules and or 81-game schedules, like 82 games in the NHL and 162 in Major League Baseball and that kind of thing. And it's not going to happen, but I think for the better of the game, I think, you know, it'd be nice to see those sports drop it back just to, you know, dial it down a little bit. Just to make the regular season a little bit more interesting. One of the great things that happened, in my opinion, a couple of years back after the lockout in the NHL, when they came back in you know, January, February, every game meant something. And you saw, you know, that intensity, a higher level of intensity in the regular season matchups. And I thought that was a lot of fun to watch. It always changes in the NHL in the playoffs. But we saw the regular season mean something from the start as a result of that, and it's unfortunate the way it has come about, but I thought there was a lesson to be learned there a little bit.
I couldn't
agree with
more.
You.
Yeah, but when a guy
that,
plays
that,
$2 billion for a franchise, you're not going to get any cutbacks in games. I'll guarantee you that.
That's a whole other story. But, you know, Roy, I agree with you.
I can agree with you, Roy, about that. Cut back to schedule.
Yeah, but I was just going to say, you know what really is mind-boggling to me is that the NFL draft got ratings equal to or better than the NBA playoff games or the NHL playoff games.
I'm sorry, what was that last part again, Roger?
No, I said that what's surprising to me is that the NFL draft got better TV numbers or equal to than the NBA playoffs that were on or the NHL playoffs.
Yeah, I'll tell you what, I am shocked by that myself. I find that almost impossible to believe. I understand the NFL is popular, but I don't know how a draft can be more popular than a playoff game. You're talking about, and again, think of it this way, guys. Remember, every team that drafted, the Buccaneers drafted 6 players. The Eagles drafted, what, 9?
Right.
Out of that 9 players for Philadelphia, whatever, 6 for Tampa Bay, you know, the Falcons, I think, had 8 or 9. 3 of those guys are going to make it. 3
right.
guys. And one of them is going to end up being just a special teams guy that everybody forgets about. It's not,
not
like
only that, Roy, but, you know, 8 of those guys, nobody knew who they were before the draft.
Yeah.
That's right.
No, I exactly.
Right.
I don't get it. I really don't get it. I mean, I would, you know, unless I covered it, I would probably watch the first round and, you know, when my team was up and
right.
that would pretty much be it.
Right.
I really don't think I'd be watching to see where anybody else went. You know, hey, that's me. So obviously I'm in the minority in that group because there's another group out there that obviously thinks this is, you know, some of the best reality television there is because the ratings are incredible.
I know. Trent Dilfer said that if he wasn't doing had to do that for his job, he wouldn't have watched 1 minute of the draft.
Well, I have to admit, I think I'd probably be very close to the same. It depends on, you know, if I had a team I was rooting for. I suppose,
right.
you know, if I had a team, maybe I'd be watching you know, what they're doing, who they're picking, and that kind of thing. But beyond that, no, I'd have a hard time following it, especially if there's a hockey game on or, you know, even an NBA game. I'd probably watch the draft over an NBA playoff game, but sure as heck not going to watch it over. In fact, and Tommy, you weren't there, but and this happens every year, when the NFL draft is going on, you know, I'm at One Buck Place, and
right.
they've got a bank of televisions, you know, about 8 of them, in the press room there. I don't do this just to be a wise guy, but every year I turn on either a hockey game or a baseball game over the TV over my desk because I don't care about the draft.
mm-hmm.
Sorry, I know. I'm going to find out here sooner or later who they pick, but, you know, there's games that matter going on. So this guy's going to play in 6 months. He's going to play a down, but he ain't playing tomorrow. And,
right.
You know, so I usually turn on a hockey game or a baseball game at that time. And
I'll tell you, one of the biggest surprises you may get, I don't know whether you followed the Rangers series that closely or not, but when Game 6 was going on, they had a lengthy picture of Phil Jackson sitting in the first row. I don't know whether you guys had a chance to see it. And with that, I don't know if it was Doc Emrick. It probably was Doc Emrick. He was doing that series. He said that Phil Jackson said he much prefers to watch the National Hockey League because you can't store up playoffs, or you can't store up timeouts until the end. And he said the game's so much slower, it takes so long to play the last 3 or 4 minutes that people, you know, fall asleep in the stands. He said, I much prefer to watch the National Hockey League. That really surprised me.
And he's making a lot of money from the NBA, I'll tell you.
I'll tell you what,
right.
Somebody in the NHL needs to get that quote and put it on a billboard somewhere.
Right. That's a great idea.
Yeah. No doubt about it. Well, I agree with him.
You know,
I'll
Roy,
that.
I wanted to change the subject a little bit to football. A couple of things. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago when they announced that, in 3 years, the Super Bowl is going to be in Minneapolis. And I was just looking at that the plans of the new stadium that will obviously be finished by then. That's going to be like a retractable roof stadium. So I was at Minneapolis for the last time they had the Super Bowl, and I'll tell you, it was a great experience, even though it was in the dead of winter because you can get around the city. And I was telling Tommy, Don, and Frank, about what a great experience is. I don't know whether you were there for that game or not. It's, you know, obviously a long time ago. But what's your feelings about that? And also a lot of speculation that the Rams are going to move back to L.A., at least a lot of speculation from what I've heard.
Yeah, well, I'm sorry, what was the first, the Super Bowl you mentioned?
Yeah, about Minneapolis. You know, it's in the new stadium is going to be have a retractable roof.
Yeah.
And even
right.
though it's in the winter, you can get around the city without going outside, really, just about any place.
Yeah, that's true. I think that's going to make it an easy deal for them. But you know what? The bottom line is, you know, the Super Bowl is supposed to be kind of a getaway in the middle of, you know, or at the early part of winter, you know, for everybody to kind of go down to a place. You know, usually it's Miami, New Orleans, Tampa, San Diego. You know, you go to a warm weather city, you get away from the cold and the misery and all that. And, you know, after a winter like this, who didn't want to get away from it?
Right.
I just really get the feeling that the NFL is kind of bucking a pretty good trend here. You know, I think they've kind of forgotten about, you know, what part of the appeal of the Super Bowl is for the fan that wants to buy the ticket. If I'm a fan living in New York, New Jersey area, Minnesota area, Green Bay, any cold weather city, Chicago, I want to get down to a warm weather climate. I want to be able to be outside for the party on Friday night. you know, I want to watch it in an indoor, I'm sorry, in an outdoor venue. I really do. I don't want to be stuck inside. I'm stuck inside all winter, you know,
right.
And yep. you know, for the most part, I think they've taken that element away from it, and I think that's cut into it a little bit. I think it's made it a little bit less special, because to me, Super Bowls were always, you know, you look back at, you know, some of them, you know, even when they played them, you know, at a decent time, you know, earlier in the day, you know, the Miami games were played, you know, and it's sunny and it's warm and it's beautiful and
yep.
people are in short sleeves and all. I don't want to have to bundle up just to get into the stadium and bundle up. Yeah, people struggling to get out of New York last year. I just think they're testing their pace. I think they're testing state too much with this stuff. And
well, they're just
and
rewarding the guys to build the new stadiums. That's all. This is a reward
yeah.
process.
Yeah. Well,
and once those new stadiums, Don, are finished, and, you know, there's how many more cities are going to have new stadiums, I think that's going to be strictly warm weather.
Well, you're right. But here's the thing. Look, I've been to Super Bowls. I went to the Jacksonville Super Bowl where it got cold and it was miserable and it was awful.
Right.
Okay? It was a horrible experience. Was at the Atlanta Super Bowl where it was cold and it was miserable and it was awful. I was at the Detroit Super Bowl where it wasn't that cold, but it got rainy and miserable, and it ended up being awful, you know, the weekend of the game itself. Last year I didn't go, but, I mean, I heard enough stories about it, how the weather held right up until the end, but then it got horrible and miserable
mm-hmm.
and awful for people trying to get the heck out of there. And all along there were questions about, is it going to work? You know, are we going to get lucky here? And they did. They got lucky. I mean, look, it seems so simple to me, guys, that if you really want a team in L.A., hold the Super Bowl in L.A. You know,
mm-hmm.
You know, go to L.A., go to San Diego, go to Phoenix, go to Tampa. I'm not a big fan of New Orleans, but go to New Orleans because it works. Go to Houston. Just drop it below the Mason-Dixon line, guys, and I think you're going to be
mm-hmm.
better off for the most part, but avoid cities like Atlanta and Jacksonville where you just can't predict the weather. I mean, let's face it, the further south you go, the better off you are. The further west you go
right.
and south, the better off you're going to be, and that's where the Super Bowls ought to be. I really feel that way.
Oh, I agree with you, and I think after the Minnesota Super Bowl, I think probably the next one or the one after that is going to be Atlanta because the new stadium will be built, just like Don said.
Yeah,
you're right.
You're right. There's no question. They're going to build a stadium, and one of the incentives to building a stadium is you get a Super Bowl, and, you know, they're trying to make it fair for everybody, and I understand that. But, you know, I mean, hey, you know what, Pittsburgh, you know, they built a new stadium. Well, where's their Super Bowl? You know,
yes, right. Exactly.
Cleveland,
same thing, right?
Yeah, yeah, and it's just, I just think it's testing faith. And as far as the L.A. thing, though, I guess the Rams are probably the most logical team that can move out there because the lease situation kind of allows it here pretty soon. But I'll tell you what, guys, as long as L.A., you know, is the carrot, the NFL, you know, they're always going to be able to use that and say, yeah, we'll move you to L.A. If you don't want to build a stadium here in Jacksonville, you don't want to build one here in Minnesota. I mean, you know, teams are always going to – what's the carrot going to be after that? It's not going to be London because nobody's going to take that seriously. So,
well, you know, what got me the other day, I heard they're talking about two possible teams in London because they think the market's big enough. I couldn't believe that.
I'm telling you guys, I've been there, and I disagree with that. You know, here's the thing. The games in London have worked because they're a special event, and it's like once a season, now it's twice a season. Again, I think they're testing fate here. A lot of those fans come from all over Europe to see those games because it's the only opportunity they have to see a game. But I think if you start putting a team in there, and it's like it's London's team, and if they're not very good, I don't think you're going to get a lot of people going to the game. I really don't. You know, when it's the Patriots playing somebody, that's one thing. You know, when it's the Bears playing somebody, that's another. But if it's your own team and they're really not that good this year, I don't think you're going to get sellouts. I think you're going to get the same problem there that you get everywhere else in the league when teams are down, and they're going to struggle with attendance. I think they're testing fate here, and I don't think they're going to win. They're going to pass the test.
Roy, if you believe in past history, and I believe in past history, when Bob Waterfield was out there, they had great teams in L.A. The L.A. team in the National Football League was a very, very good team. When they had the second team out there, it was very, very good. It didn't last. Once they started to slide a little bit, in L.A., you start to lose, you're gone. And, of course, when Oakland moved down there, they did nothing. I mean, they didn't even get a breath of fresh air. So, I mean, they've tried it three times, and it's failed every time.
Well, you're right. And I think one of the keys there, guys, is I don't believe moving a team to L.A. is the answer. Because, as you said, it didn't really work out, you know, with the Rams. It certainly didn't work out with the Raiders. If the Chargers were suddenly to move, I think it would be an easy move for them. But I don't think it would pay off. I think the generation of Rams fans that love the old Rams would not really – I think they're almost gone. I think too many young people don't realize that's a team that's coming back home. I think if you're going to do it, if you're going to put a team in L.A., I think it's got to be an expansion team. And here's another reason why. Because my guess is you could probably get $2 billion for it, maybe four.
Yeah.
If an NBA team in L.A. is worth $2 billion, what's the first team, NFL team in that market worth?
Oh, it's unbelievable.
Right.
I'll tell you, if the people
you're
of
right.
L.A., if they really want to see the National Football League, bring the Crazy Legs Hurst movie back and show them that.
Wilma Gabriel. You know, I'll tell you what, Don, you know, that's a good point. And what Roy was saying, because I was just talking to an old friend of mine who played on the Rams in 65 when he got out of Temple, Steve Spears, who I know Frank and Tommy and you were probably familiar with from Temple.
Sure.
And also remember Frank Lansdowne Old? You may have played against him in high school.
Sure.
And I was talking to him yesterday, and he was on that Continental Football League Championship, the Bulldog, with Wayne Harden. And they were honored, and I didn't know this, I don't know how long ago, they were honored at Canton. But he was naming the guys that were on the team with him. And you're right, Roy, most of them are dead. Steve's 71 years old, and it was Deacon Jones, Merlin Olsen, you know, the fearsome foursome. They're all gone.
And so is the team.
Byron Hightgang, Roman Gabriel, Harold Jackson,
the fans are gone, too. You know?
Right.
That's
almost a generation of fans has grown up in L.A. without a football team. If you move the Rams back and try to say, okay, we're bringing back the glory days, well, I just don't think it's going to happen. That was in the 70s, man. I mean, we're far removed from those days, guys, and I just don't think that's the answer. And I think putting the Raiders there proved it. I don't think L.A. wants
and
somebody
else. And, Roy, the other thing is, where are they going to play? They're going to go back to the Coliseum again?
Right.
I mean, the Coliseum was outdated 30 years ago.
But you know what? That's the issue, guys. Nobody can seem to get together on building a stadium there.
You should use this post game. You win,
they're catching the Phillies compared to the Phillies and the Pirates. You say, yes,
hey, Mama, how are you guys?
Yes, we can.
That's right.
Use that for your postgame.
Yeah.
I tell you what.
Don't tell me if he talks to the people in the restaurant, we don't understand it.
Yeah.
Yeah, really.
Was it something we said, Tommy?
Are you
playing
your order a hamburger or something? What the heck?
Tommy's getting bitter.
I think he's taking orders for... Yeah.
Roy, always a pleasure to have you on, sir. We got to go play that round of, get the round of golf. You, Mr. Kaufman, Mr. Finley, Mr. Jones, if we get him away, Roy, the birds are calling you. Mr. Baker had a baby girl. He's calling you. I'm calling you. We get you after that football's over, we get you on that golf course.
We're going to do it, Tommy. We'll do it when
just get in your easy chair. You're only about 10 minutes away from National Hockey League action.
I am
and
looking
it should be
forward
a lot of fun,
to it, guys.
Are you?
That's all I'm going
to
get him off.
You're picking L.A., is that right?
That's right. I've got L.A. in six.
Okay.
Rangers in six. We'll go for a soda pop, Roy.
Okay, we'll see who's right.
Okay.
Keep our fingers crossed, Roy. Loser buys dinner, Tommy. Loser buys dinner.
Yeah, that's right.
Here you go. Golf course.
Thanks, Roy, for coming up.
Take
guys,
care, Roy. Have a great week.
All right, guys. Take care now.
Thanks
for having me.
Hey, we're going to switch gears right now to Stevie K. Steve, welcome to the program, sir. Kid Ray's in the press box. That's why we're down here.
Kid Ray's out of school now, so he's all
happy. I think we better sit in the stands. Well, what can you say? 8-game losing streak. We're winning 3-1 right now. Long ball by Zobrist and Longo. So, I mean, as we was talking to Orissa Stratus walking past me, broadcast from Tropicana Field, I said, remember what Dave Cash said when he got traded from the Pirates to the Phillies, and Don Roger Franco, oh, no, what he said, yes, we can. So my saying for Jill Madden is, yes, we can. We'll get out of this slump. So that's my thought for today, Steve.
Oh, it sounds good. You know, my focus is on, you know, the old saying, let's win today, and also can the Rays get back to 500? I don't think we should be, and nobody can think about anything else until the team can crawl back to 500, and then you have to wonder how long it will take.
Stevie, what do you say about the Eagles, though? Is it, yes, we hope?
Well,
I mean, they're bad. They are bad.
Well, our tribe's one game under 500, rain delay in Cleveland, Steve. So, I mean, look at the tribe's walking, getting herself back in the contest now. And then Minnesota's still back here. They five games back, so Detroit start losing three, and the Indians won five. They're right back in the contest in the Central Division.
Well,
yeah,
Tommy, I think the big thing is the Rays have to try to get healthy. Now, losing Myers now,
right.
What's that, 6 to 8 weeks now?
Oh, gosh,
I mean. That's a big loss. And you put that on top of what they lost in the pitching staff and what's going on. I mean, look at the game they played the other night. Had a great game, lose it 1-0.
Chris Archer last night.
They can't score runs.
And now tonight they got three. They went long ball. They got the single by Zobrist and Longo went long. So the offense is together. But for how long? I hope it stays along for next 3 weeks. Get to see team back to 500, guys, and then you go from there.
Yeah, I guess what they got to do is win series, mix a couple sweeps in there. You know, I told all my Indian friends, you know, I was up there last weekend.
Oh.
I had to go up to Cleveland. I went to a couple Indian games. But I guess I tell any baseball person, and, you know, there's two different types of teams that are struggling. There's those teams that struggle because they lose every series over a long period of time. And then there's those teams that, you know, find themselves being swept in a couple series, but overall winning the majority of series. And
right.
that's what the Indians were doing, even when they had a bad record. They were getting swept. They got swept by the White Sox right before I got there. They've been swept by the Angels and the Giants. And all the other series they were winning, they were taking 2 out of 3 from the Twins and the White Sox and other teams. Well, the Rays, if they, you know, any team that you're a fan of, you want to start winning as many series in a row as you can.
Well, I'll tell you, I think anyway, in my view, Terry Francona is a lot like Joe. He doesn't panic. When they're having troubles, he has a tendency, whether it was when he's with the Red Sox or and now in Cleveland, he can stable the ship. And as Tommy said, they're coming back. They got off to a lousy start the first quarter, but I think they'll be an improved team the rest of the way out.
The key for them. Sorry, guys.
It's Buddy.
That was Buddy. Yes, it was. That was Buddy and the other four. That was like that. That's a quintet of dogs.
Oh no.
Steve, you have to tell Don and Roger Frank the Buddy story.
We call Buddy Seven Couch because we're on our seventh couch, meaning he's destroyed six of them. You know, so, but he's a wonderful Dalmatian. But
God, like
he's got his own fire truck.
It's like Sanford had sent that.
Yeah, if you have a couch you need movement, it's too heavy, and you want to just take it to the dump, just let me lock Buddy in a room for about an hour, and we'll make sure it's in half. But, that Rays offense was frustrating. Nothing more so than watching a game last night of a one-nothing loss where you hit into three double plays, you get a guy caught stealing, and then Escobar trying to take advantage of a guy, which I actually liked. I enjoyed him. It showed a little bit of fight out of the team. I mean, that was a surprising move, but you know, it didn't work.
It was a great pitch by Chris Archer. Pitched one heck of a game, and it's unfortunate. You know, Rays are in this funk right now, Steve and everybody. They lose a game by a walk up there. But tonight's a different story. They're leading 3-1 down here at Tropicana Field. And I'll tell you the probable, Steve, and everybody, if you're just tuning in right now, they play Miami tomorrow for Jacob Turner. Then the Mariners coming, Bernard versus Chris Young. Cobb goes to Elias. Well, here's the matchup, I think, at a homestand. Steve, you got to agree with me about this. Chris Archer versus Felix Fernandez, King Felix, to get the pitch on Sunday afternoon. So that's going to be probably the pitching matchup of the homestand, I think.
Yeah, it sounds like it. I mean, it's always fun to watch a good pitching matchup, and Chris Archer against King Felix will be a battle with two guys that wear their emotions on their sleeve as well as are talented pitchers, so that'll be fun to watch.
And the Mariners right now won four games in a row right now, Steve, and the thing about that, what do you think about the Toronto Blue Jays? Are they for real or not?
Yeah. I mean, if they can stay healthy, you know, they've got, you know, Melky Cabrera is back to where he was 2 years ago. We won't get into the reasons why it might be like that. They've got Bautista and Encarnacion doing their thing. And then, you know, those two guys were like diamonds in the rough. They just found off scrap heap in the waiver wire. And it looks like they've hit magic again with Juan Francisco, who the Milwaukee Brewers, you know, they're in first place. It just shows you can make a mistake. Chose Lyle Overbay and Mark Reynolds at first base over Francisco.
Right.
Francisco gets let go, and he's just pounding the ball over there in Toronto. Mark Burley's off to one hell of a start. Now, if they have one area of concern, to me, it is that starting pitching staff. That's where, over the course of 162, they're susceptible for a few longer losing streaks, because that offense is carrying the pitching staff. But we all know that good pitching shuts down good offense. So I would look for, you know, Toronto, any pitcher that's out there right now that anyone's thinking about trading, you know, you just go ahead and lop Toronto into the mix, and that includes David Price.
Wow. I mean, I think Toronto had all the offense up there, and I asked a couple of Toronto media when they're in Dunedin. Is Gibbons' job security said, yeah, all the injuries they had, and this team's coming together, and we know Baltimore's for real, and the Yankees are one game over 500 in that, but it's still the toughest division in baseball. And look at it, because you look at the Central, five games separate everything. You look at the National League East, six games separate the Phillies from Atlanta, and the Miami's won two in a row, as we know. Well, no, so this, with the baseball teams are getting figured out right now. We know what the bad teams are falling down, the tough teams, and the rise teams are rising to the crop.
Mm-hmm. Well, Dickie's down 2-1 in tonight's game.
No.
And so Toronto, but I'll tell you, the way they hit the ball and the way they score runs, boy, oh, boy, no lead is safe with them.
Oh, and it's just unreal. And Dickey's having a great year. And I mean, this is the team we figured Toronto 2 years ago, Don. Everybody's going to have a great year. Win the American
right.
League East,
and
they're having a great year. And I still think we see Buck Showalter work miracles, and also Joe Maddon. This division's not over by a long shot by any team
Amen.
Right now.
Amen.
And I'm still got confidence in Joe to get this team together, get it pulled out of here. 18 the last 21 games right now are home for the Rays, and this can be the hopefully June madness for this Tampa Bay baseball team to get this thing turned around, figure it out, and make a run at this thing.
Well, I agree with the earlier statement. You got to look at 500 first. You got to get
right.
to 500 before you can start, you know, putting
right.
your pencil down on a piece of paper and saying, look, this is what could happen. But if you don't get to 500, you're a long way from home.
But
yeah.
I think this year runs with 2004. The Rays were the same thing at probably June 4th up there. They were the same thing up there. And it doesn't go back that far. But then he won 8 games, 10 games in a row. They got back to 500, first time in Cubs history by the 4th of July. And unfortunately, 2004, it just went down the tank. But I sort of got a gut feeling this Rays team is going to overcome adversity and win this thing.
You've got everybody speechless, Tommy.
I know. I thought it was off the air, but Don, I just got it.
We can only hope, Tommy. We can only hope.
I know, but I'm just hopefully we can get it going right now. So, I mean, it's a great game. It's great baseball coming for the Rays. 18 out of 21 games in a row. You got the Miami tomorrow afternoon, 4:10, and Seattle for 4. Then you got St. Louis for 2 games on Tuesday and next Wednesday night. That's going to be fun to see St. Louis come in. A good friend of mine, Brian Bartel, hope he makes the trip. Remember, guys, the Cardinals used to train at St. Petersburg a long, long time ago at Al Lang Field.
Tommy, mm-hmm. I'll tell you one thing. They should pray in St. Petersburg that the Mets, the Cubs, and the Phillies come into town to play. That's the only way they're going to win
straight.
Them out.
That's right.
That'll turn the season right around.
They'll win 10 straight if those three teams come in for a 3- or 4-game series. 5-game series between the Phillies and the Mets may have been the worst baseball I've seen in 25 years.
And Don, the longest. Not only year-wise, inning-wise, unbelievable.
I sent an email to Henry. I said, how many people could possibly, either not only be in the stands, in the press box by the same time, by the time those games were over? There was nothing
to
write
about. Like to be Dan, how would you like to be poor Dan Baker, being there from start to finish and having to announce those losses?
Terrible.
Well, I tell you,
Dan's said Dan has seen more Phillies losses than probably anybody else in the history of the team.
Wow.
That might be right.
But he's seen 2 world championships, guys. You know that.
Yeah, he has. And I'll tell you what's funny. I got a Facebook note last night from John Nalbone. It's with the Trenton Times, and Don knows him very well. And John says to me, what do you want? You got a World Series in 2008.
Well, I just can't imagine, in my own mind, how they can make as many mistakes. I mean, the plays, they don't know the rules. A high pop-up by the mound, they let it drop. It's an infield fly rule. They don't even know it.
Yeah.
You know, here's a guy on third base, and the runner on first base, Chase Utley, is coaching him how far of a lead to go. I mean, you couldn't have a better third base coach than Larry Boa. What the hell is this guy doing out there being a third base coach?
He's not paying attention because he was trying to get him to get in a rundown, and he'd get home with a winning run.
I'll
tell you what, they've got to make a decision on Don Brown. I think he needs to go to another team, get a fresh start, because he's not going to do it with the Phillies.
General, I'd like to welcome to the program. We're broadcast live from Patty's Bar, Tropicana Field, with a good friend of ours, Matt Gary. Matt, talk about what's going on at your arena and then your big events in September.
Hey, good evening, gentlemen. How are you all doing tonight?
Great,
great.
Pat,
how are you?
Doing good.
Good. You know, we've talked about it almost every week. The World Ball Hockey Masters event coming here September 16th through the 21st. And my bathrooms are almost renovated in the building. I'm pretty excited about that. It's a lot of work watching it get done. I've learned a lot about construction that I never knew I would learn, gentlemen.
Hey, listen, Matt, when you own a facility, you learn a lot about a lot of things.
Oh, yeah. What I learned is that every tradesman hates the other tradesman. That's what I've learned.
Oh, no.
Everybody does something wrong. It's crazy. They don't know how to play really nice in the sand. But as you know, it's sold out. 500 to 600 participants are coming, and we're fired up over here. We can't wait.
I can't wait either, Matt. It's gonna be fun. Some good news today, and of course, you're always there. Some good news, so that's gonna be wonderful about that. And how can people or listeners come up and see the event up there? Do you have to purchase tickets at the arena at all, or?
You know, those specifics haven't been panned out yet. I'm getting feedback from other world events that have been ran. This is obviously my first one. But I did talk to the gentleman who awarded this to me, and it made me feel really good yesterday. He said mainly the reason that the event sold out is because my name was on it. So
wow.
I'm going to make sure that when somebody gives me that, I'm going to give them everything and more when they get down here. So that's a good thing.
What a compliment, man.
Yeah, one of the things that I'm definitely looking for, any gentleman, if you can help out, we really need sponsors for the event. There's going to be streams to over 1.5 million people, and a lot of recognition. We're definitely looking for some sponsorships.
Yes, and Matt, I'll give you one suggestion, and I don't know whether you've contacted Wawa or not, but I would think that would be a natural with the way they've grown down there. And then when I was up about a month ago, a young lady at Wawa was telling me, and you guys are probably aware of it, they've already, I guess, knocked down one of the new ones in Orlando because they found it was too small, and they're building a bigger site. So with the way they're growing, you know, their offices in suburban, I don't know any, I mean, I know a guy there, but he's not in advertising. But I would think that if you went in and talked to, you know, one of the general managers, like the one that's there on 19, Tommy, where we went
right.
in, wasn't his name Eric?
Right,
the
we've been contacting Todd up the cult, contact him tomorrow about how do we stand for the thing up there and that. So did email Todd, did contact Todd about what's going on for the event up there. So I'm going to reopen that situation up on tomorrow. It'd be great.
Is Todd, is he on the first tee?
No. No, he's the director of him. Oh, we should get him on the first. He's one of the directors of Wawa down here. He said it's a Ford operation up there and that. So we're going
to. I just knew that would be the place he'd have to meet you.
He should. He does play golf, Todd.
Well, whatever it takes, Tommy. You know how that goes.
If we get Matt to get him, Matt can get him on board, too. It'd be great.
How's that phone? How's that phone working for you, Tommy?
Yeah, how's that phone working, Tommy?
It's still good.
He has to find it.
What?
He probably has to find it at this point.
I got to get it down there. I'm sorry, guys. This next week, I promise you.
Tommy told me yesterday he's putting a clapper on there so he can turn it on.
What's that, Frank?
I said I heard you were going to put the clapper on there so you could turn the phone on.
I should.
Tommy, the only button you have to remember, so the one that says power, that'll turn it on for you.
I know, it says power. It's time to get old, Donna. Oh, my gosh, babe. Well, Matt, you know, how can people get a hold of you for sponsorship or anything else that way?
They can call me anytime at 727-845-7808. If I'm not in the building, the phones are forwarded to my cell phone, so I always make sure that when you call, you get either a call back within 5 minutes or an answer.
Yeah, so we got one already, Matt, so it's hopefully some good news from one of the people to be coming on board with the organization, be the official food host up there and that. So she hope we had a good meeting with her today.
Yeah, and then, you know, the good news is Paul Porter has agreed to do the announcing for some of the games.
Great.
And we know that Jason Cullimore has agreed to be involved with the event. So those are two positives.
Great.
And the more positives you get, the better the event gets.
Absolutely.
The big question, gentlemen, is there's a big game going on right now, and it's not the Rays.
I'm at the Rays right now. They're winning three. I think they're still winning up here. I know. I'm watching MSNBC. I know it's a big hockey game going up there and that. So, but, Matt, I said to Roy Cummings early in the program, I said the Rangers. I mean, Rangers in six.
Tommy, it's Jimmy McKee. How are you?
Hey, Jim, how you doing today? Jim, welcome to – Jim, first off, how you feeling, sir?
I'm feeling terrific. I'm getting much better as we speak, and the Rays are now losing 5-3.
Oh, no, Jim. Oh. Well, Jim, I
just hit a three-run homer in the left field off Price.
Oh, no. But Jim, you're in my prayers all the time, Jim. And the guys in baseball chapel, we're praying for you, too, and that. And I was going to give you a talk, but Frank, the infections are coming off, so – thank the Lord that you're back to health and back to strength right now.
Yeah, I said a lot of prayers, and it worked out well for me, I must say.
Fantastic.
That's great.
Great. Because when I talked to Jim, I think it was back in March, he says in the hospital, oh, my God. And I said, Jim, I'm so sorry to bother you. And I said, okay, we'll start the prayer chain going right now. And then I told Frank about that.
Well, Tommy, it worked. I appreciate it.
Oh, my God, you're back to health. And the family's doing good, I hope.
Everybody's good, and it wasn't really, and we're not going to get into this, but it wasn't really that, it wasn't, I was sick and not on my own accord. I got an overdose from a nursing company that didn't keep track of my antibiotics, and I got overdosed.
Really?
And I really got sick. It had nothing to do with, I actually, guys, I had a little ant bite in my foot, and it got a little bigger, so they prescribed this vancomycin, which is a high-end antibiotic. And I had a in-home nursing that came in 3 days a week, and they're supposed to monitor those numbers, and they didn't. And what happened on one weekend, I got overdosed, and I went from there, and then I was rushed to the hospital. I had kidney failure. I was a couple hours from hitting the old deck as a result of bad health care.
Their mistake.
To be honest with you. Yeah,
that's scary.
We'll have a new radio show coming up, boys. We'll have our own studio. And
there you go.
We'll have a few things going, brand new stuff.
Oh, well, thank God you're back to health. My prayers have been answered.
Yeah, no, we're good to go.
That's great. That's the best news, Jim, I heard all year, because you're a good friend of mine. You're a good friend of the program. That's the best news I heard so far. But what do you think? What do you think about this replay right now, Jim? That's a question right now. I think I'm from the old school. I'm gonna have the umpires. Umpire the game, not just replay stuff.
Well, my first answer to that, you guys, is I wish I was umpiring.
Huh?
Because now you can just walk on the field and don't have to worry about anything. No arguments, no controversy. Boy, anybody can umpire now. There'll be a lot of Russians working in umpiring now if they had jobs. I mean, it's crazy.
Jimmy, I think that the replay, though, has shown that, 90% of the time, the umpires are right. I mean, every call that's reversed is a bang bang call that could have gone either way. I mean, it's not. I don't think it's changed anything.
Well, I agree with you. The only thing it will do is, and I was in the beginning, I thought this might be good for playoffs or World Series where they had one call that might change, the
right.
winner of a World Series or a playoff or something. But to do it day in, day out, and, I don't mind replay, but I don't like the system. I think the system is atrocious, the way they do it. There's so much better ways to do it. I suggested when they started this whole thing that they have five-man crews, and you have an umpire sitting in the ballpark to work the plate the night before. They just keep rotating around. And let him work at the replays, because there's so many things that can go wrong. Going to New York, you don't know who's looking at those replays. I know they are umpires. But the problem is, you got a guy like Joe West, and I'm just throwing this out there, but you got a guy like Joe West got 30-something years in the league, and you're going to have a kid that's not even in the league yet. He's a first-year umpire, looking at Joe's replays. That doesn't work, and you see the managers walking out. and they're looking in the dugout. They're making the call from some guy in a back room somewhere. I don't like it. I think every time a manager comes out, if he's coming out, then he must ask for the replay. He can't get out there and then look at it from the bench, and somebody gives him the thumbs up or the thumbs down. I think that's ridiculous.
Well, that happened last night in the Yankee game. You know, and Joe walked all the way out there, and he has to stall. He goes to the play was at third base, so he has to stall until Tony Peña gave him the sign from the dugout, thumbs up, you know, asked for a replay. They didn't reverse the call anyway, but, you know, it was a bang-bang play at third base. And you're right.
I think what they're doing now, and believe it or not, they're getting a little smarter in New York. They sort of went to the letter of the law there for a while, but now they're looking if the plays are bang-bang, and I mean really bang-bang, where they're not sure, then they're just letting it stand. And
right.
I think these managers and players were hoping that they'd reverse everything. And they're not reversing everything. And I know you're going to see a number out there, and I think it's 34% that they reversed, but they're not counting the ones where the manager walks out and doesn't ask for a replay and then walks back. That should be
right.
Part of the percentage, too, which would bring it right back to where you were talking about.
Right. You know, Jimmy, your point about the five umpires really got my interest, because in that Phillies-Mets five-game series, they were talking about having the home plate umpire that started the series end the series, or whether they were going to bring a new crew in, because they never like to go with a crew doing two games in a series at home plate, you know, unless
right.
it's like an injury or something like that. So I'll tell
right.
you what, I'm with you on that. I think that's the way to do it. And, you know, and basically that's the way they do it in the NFL. You know,
exactly.
they call upstairs.
I agree, and my answer to that is, after the game is over, if the press wants to ask a question on the replay, you know, why it wasn't reversed or why it wasn't changed or why, they have the answer to it right then and there. They don't have to phone Joe Torre in New York, and Joe Torre says, well, it comes out of a room in New York, and we're not sure, and we don't really have, you know what I mean? You could get an explanation right away, because there's so many people they want explanations right away on a certain call. Like, why wasn't
right.
it overchanged? I say it was obvious to everybody else. Well, there was a reason why it wasn't overchanged, but they never get the answer to it, so they're always upset. Now, as we've said, we've had, and you guys have witnessed this, we've probably had, I'm not sure, probably four or five managers ejected as
right.
a result of a bad replay call in New York.
Right.
I mean,
yeah.
the umpires have nothing to do with that. And they make the call and it goes to New York, and then they're mad.
Well, supposedly, Jimmy, isn't the rule that, you know, once the decision is made in New York, you can't argue it. And that's why they argue it even after the decision's been made. They get
Absolutely.
Themselves thrown out.
Absolutely. I mean, John Farrell, I think, well, what happened was a couple of times they're getting, you know, different reviews on the play. They've got two angles on one play, and the guys in New York aren't seeing these angles, and they saw it right there in New York at Yankee Stadium. That I think it was a play at second base where the guy stepped off second base. I really can't remember. And John Farrell's team tagged the guy. He stepped off the base, but they didn't have that replay in New York. And I'm just saying, if you had the fifth umpire working upstairs, he could see it, do it in about 2 seconds, because I used to sit up there with Tommy up there, and you can
right.
tell the replays right away. If it's close enough, forget it. If it's reversible,
right.
we'll reverse it. We'll do it in 2 seconds. There won't be 4 or 5 minutes looking at this angle, look at that, and that's it. I'm not going to have anybody sitting in the back room. That's where my pride would be hurt. Is when Joe Madden comes out and walks up to me, and we're both looking in the dugout to see some guy who's a technology guy in a room in the back looking at my replays. Tell me how I did.
Jim,
you know,
I think that's terrible about
furious.
The replay. Jim, the replays is terrible. Baseball and all sports has been the officials, the umpires, and that made the game of baseball great. This replay officials has got to. I just don't care for it. The replay officials and the time and everything else that way in it.
Well, the only thing I can say, if it saves a big game in the playoffs of the World Series, I can buy that. But the day in, day out, looking at five or six plays a game is terrible. And, you know, there's 15 games every day possibly in the big leagues. It's not like, you know, they got this idea from hockey, this central location.
Oh,
well,
yep.
hockey's only looking at possible goals and maybe an attempt to injure. That's it. That's all I look at. We're looking at every play on the field, which is ridiculous.
Well, you know, there's a lot of talk, Jim, that in the future it's going to be balls and strikes.
No question.
They now have the technology.
They'll never be able to do that.
Well, it may not be in our lifetime, but you never know in the future.
Now that, well, to me that would take away the the aspect of the game. I mean, it's so much. There's always a controversy, and I think they'd be really hurting the game if they did something like that.
I agree.
Exactly.
I totally agree. And you know, the issues they have now, and I'll be honest with you guys, I love baseball. I made my living in it. It's a boring game right now. You know, after I get off here, I'm going to watch the hockey game between L.A. and New York, and there's constant excitement up and down the ice. Constant.
Right, right.
Basketball is the same way in the finals. Not every day, but
right.
In the finals. And then
you
the NFL.
Like, you sound like Phil Jackson now, Jim. We just talked about that. He was at the Ranger game, and he said the same thing. Hockey was so much more interesting than basketball because you can't save up five timeouts for the last minute and a half.
Absolutely.
That's right.
And, you know, not to get into the hockey, but they instituted that rule this year or last year where you drop the puck right away. I mean,
right.
You know, 10 seconds, you drop the puck. You can't jump over the boards once they get that whistle blown, and they drop the puck within so many seconds. I mean, it's great. It just never stops. And baseball is boring. And now you take, and I know it sounds crazy, you take the confrontations out of the game.
Right.
Exactly.
There's no confrontations. And I used to work games, obviously, with Billy Martin and Weaver and those guys, crazy as they were. But they would get standing ovations coming off the field after we
right.
Get into a nose-to-nose
right.
Or toe-to-toe. The people would stand up, and it still goes on if you get a good one. But the thing is, you don't get any more arguments. That's just another boring part of baseball. I mean, what sport can you go have a hot dog and a paper and everything and come back? And nothing's happening.
Well, you know, Tommy made a good point, Jim, earlier about what Gary Bettman said. There's not a slouch team in the NHL. And I'm looking at a game right now of a slouch team. The Philadelphia Phillies down 3-0, and you know they're not even showing any emotion. They haven't for weeks, really, and
right.
You know, and they're going to probably wind up with 10,000 to 15,000, 20,000 instead of 45,000. And you're exactly right; it's boring.
You know how many times, guys, and we laugh, but you see people sleeping in the stands.
Yeah,
they actually flash camera shots. Guys sound asleep sitting in the upper deck or something.
Jimmy,
you know,
Jimmy, let me ask you
nice
this.
Sleep.
One of the things I don't think they go over enough, even on the more on ESPN or more on the televised games, that to me they should explain the fact that each umpire has his own strike zone.
Right.
So because you think it's a strike. Last night, it doesn't necessarily mean it's going to be a strike tonight when the next umpire is back behind home plate.
Well, you see, that used to happen a lot when I was umpiring. We all sort of had our strike zones. I was a strike caller. I really like to call strikes, not necessarily on the plate, but they would all be trying to definitely make them hittable pitches. And obviously,
right.
When it got to 3-2, I'm not going to strike out on a pitch that's a ball. I mean, I might, but I mean, I've made a mistake if I have. But I was known as a strike umpire, so pitchers liked me and hitters didn't. But at least we played. You know, we
exactly.
Had a chance to play. Because I used to tell umpires when I was supervising, call strikes early in the first three innings. You might get screamed at a little bit, but ignore that. Call strikes. So then when you get to the seventh, eighth, and ninth inning, you won't have to call any strikes because they're all going to swing and you're going to have a good ending and you won't be responsible.
Yeah, I agree with you 100%. Last night in the Yankee game, that was all they talked about was the low strike. But the umpire was very consistent. He called it both
right.
ways, and he called the low strike for everybody. Now, you have to adjust to that. If you're a hitter, you got to adjust to it. He doesn't have to change his calls.
Absolutely. And I'll tell
yes.
you, the more I listen to some of the announcers in baseball, after being homebound here for a little while, it's really hard. It's really hard and boring to listen to again. Because I mean, if you're not a true baseball fan, you don't understand half the things they're saying anyway. You know, throwing the ball glove side and body side and stretching out and you know all this kind of stuff. People have no idea what's going on, and it's talk, 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 and no action.
And
they've
gone stat nuts. Everything is a stat.
Well, they have somebody sitting right behind them giving them a number, you know, which is ridiculous. Now, I did listen to Hawk Harrelson and Steve in the White Sox the other day, and Hawk's crazy as can be. He's a homer, but he's a pretty good announcer. But I noticed lots of times they didn't do a lot of talking. They talked when the ball was hit or
Right.
Guys coming up, and it wasn't a whole lot of stress, but they, come on, guys, let's go. Our guys have two, and their guys have seven, that kind of stuff. But it was sort of entertaining. It wasn't constant trying to tell everybody what a slider was and a cut fastball and all
The Ernie Harwell system.
Right.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely.
Well, you know, it's one thing to be a radio play-by-play. It's something else to be TV. Because so many guys did radio, they bring it over to TV. You don't have to. People can see it. If it's an inside strike, it goes up. The umpire shows it's a strike. You don't need to be every time saying inside strike one or one and two.
Right
on the screen.
Right, and they have all these analysts telling what pitch they're going to throw next.
Oh, yeah.
You know, oh, here comes the cut fastball for sure. They got him set up, and sure enough, he throws a curve, and the guy hits it 900 miles, and they never say anything about it. I mean, this goes on.
Well, Lindquist just made a dynamic save for the Rangers.
Yeah, you know what? I'm watching the game, too. I'm watching the same thing.
We can't do play-by-play.
Boy, he made that save, and the puck rolled right by the right by the post, and
did you see what the tickets were in New York?
How much were they, Jim?
$2,200 a ticket average.
Yeah.
You've got to be kidding me.
$2,200, that's $4,400 for two tickets.
Oh, my God.
That's the average in Madison Square Garden. Now, I always question it, but I know it was like that for baseball when I was working. The new Yankee Stadium, those seats were like $2,100 right behind home plate there.
They were. You're exactly right.
They still are $2,000.
I think they changed it. Like they got a lot of heat, and I think they brought it way, way down to $1,800 a seat.
Wow, because they weren't selling either.
They weren't selling now either.
You
watch the Yankee. Turn the Yankee game on tonight. They're ahead 4-0 when I turned it off. But turn the game on tonight, you'll see that those seats behind home plate. They're not. They don't. There's nobody in them until about the sixth inning, and I think they send people down just to make it look good.
Absolutely.
You're right, Don.
I agree with you, Don. You're right.
It's the old Cleveland Stadium trick. I told this to Jim. You get a GA ticket for $350. Oh, say, can you see what section I'm going to sit at? Right. Then the 80 fam guys looking at the field. About the third inning, I'm in a good seat watching the Indians.
I think there's more guys playing hockey here tonight on the ice than the Rays have in the whole ballpark. I'm watching. There's like six guys in each team or something. So that's 12 guys in the ice. That's more than the poor Rays have in the whole ballpark. And you know what? The way they're playing, that's what they deserve too.
You know, Jimmy, it's a shame, though. We spend a lot of time, and we have for the last 3 or 4 years, talking about this situation. And I don't know how it's going to change. I mean, if they have the opening day, they sell out. They have a nice crowd. If the Yankees are there, they have a pretty nice crowd. But day in and day out, boy, they are really having trouble.
There's no question. I think because of the economic situation we have in the country right now, they're very lucky that they haven't moved. You know, I would be very surprised that once this economic thing gets strained out, or Sternberg might sell the club. I can see that coming because they lowballed to buy it. And, major league clubs, the way they're selling franchises now, obviously, you know, that basketball franchise they just sold with the Clippers, that's going to turn a lot of franchises around.
Well, the problem is that even if a new owner comes in, he's still stuck with that lease. Somebody's got to buy that lease out.
Well, I think they'll figure that out. There's been a couple of things they've done down here. Actually, the hockey, Mr. Vinnick, the guy that owns the Lightning, he's been part of a group that showed a little interest in the ball club, trying to move it over there to Tampa, and then Tampa would give them something to do, like a port for boats or cruise ships or something like that, this type, to get out of the lease. So there's all sorts of deals, but guys, they got to come up with $650 million to build a stadium. Who the heck is going to come anywhere in the country right now?
No, I agree.
You know, the luckiest place in the world is the Miami Marlins. Is they got theirs built, and now they're stuck here.
Right.
Nobody's going anywhere, but they got a beautiful, brand-new stadium.
They do. And they have about 580 people a game, too.
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Atlanta just built a stadium, guys.
Yes, in Cobb County. Yep.
Atlanta. I don't think the Rays have anything
to
worry
about. Yeah, but that's not going
to
be built. That won't be open until 17, but,
yes.
But you're right. But you know what? That will draw more. There are certain games that people go out to see the Braves, and they get a consistent attendance. But I will tell you, it'll change everything by that move.
as one that travels through the city to get to Turner Field.
Oh, yeah. So, that's terrible. Yeah.
Butts in the seat aren't what owners are worried about right now. They might bark about it, but it's not their, that's not their focus. That's their gravy. The TV money is what they care about.
Yeah,
and
you're
the,
right.
The Atlanta Braves just reworked their TV deal. It hasn't been announced yet, but it will be announced in the upcoming months. They reworked their TV deal and extended it, and it's going to be one of the bigger TV deals, similar to the ones that you've been seeing.
Fancied
about. Yes, it is. I mean, and that's where the money is. I mean, if the Rays are stuck, Sternberg, we could sit there and talk about the Tampa Bay Rays attendance and the lease and the Tropicana Field. Fact of the matter is, what really burns Sternberg up right now is he's stuck with the TV contract that they signed for 10 years at about 12 to 13 or 14 million a year.
I agree.
You know, that's where he is stuck. Not the Tropicana Field and the attendance, but having a crappy TV deal that's one of the worst in baseball right now. Even if he pushed that thing up to $30 million a year, like the Indians, or excuse me, $40 million a year, like the Indians, that would be a hell of a lot more revenue than he's getting right now at 14 and 15.
Well, I sent Roger an email just before we went on the air. I don't know if you had a chance to see it yet, Roger, but
no,
1915 was when the Chicago Cubs joined forces with the WGN. And they've been there for like 90 years or whatever.
Wow.
It is.
Yeah, I saw that.
And today they bailed out. CBS bought the radio rights, and WGN is out of the picture for the first time in 90 years.
They're
going
to go to BBM, right? They'll go to BBM. Yeah.
Yep. The White Sox are staying where they are.
Yeah, Stevie, you know, there's a point you were just making. You know what's going to happen in Atlanta's got a lousy radio market, and especially on AM because of the topography, okay?
Right.
But the other thing, and, you know, because WSB had the Braves for years and years, and that was the good days when Hank Aaron was there because it's 50,000 clear channel watts, and you can hear it in Philadelphia.
Right.
You can't get it anymore. But the other thing is, what they are going to do with Turner Field, from what I heard last week, it's going to become part of Georgia State and will become the athletic complex, which is good because it'll clean that area out, and they'll be able to expand the university, which is growing leaps and bounds, and then they'll be able to have their own football stadium instead of having to pay for 5,000 people to be in the Georgia Dome. That'll work out very well for Georgia State.
Yeah,
Temple University needs something like that, Roger.
That's what Temple needs. You're exactly right, Don.
Exactly.
When I was talking to Steve Spears, I was looking at what the attendance was at Temple Stadium back in 65 for the Philadelphia Bulldogs. They averaged over 10,000 fans a game. That's more than probably, except for big games like Penn State, than Temple gets now, right down at the lake.
Well, I was talking to Chet today, and from all accounts, they put together a committee, and they're going to try to have a 30,000-seat stadium put up where the intramural field is now. But as Chet said, you know, are you going to be able to, you know, induce the Penn States, you know, teams like that to come in and play in a 30,000-seat stadium? I don't think so. You'd have to give them 3-1.
They could play a big game at the link, you know, like UConn.
They can't. They're going to charge them so much. They've only got, I think, one more year to go at the link, and then he wants like $500,000 a game or something.
Yeah, but my point, if they played at the new stadium, their own, for the smaller games, and then played at the link for like Penn State, you know, where you're going to sell it out.
He doesn't want Temple playing. He doesn't want the college team to be playing there.
Yeah, that's wear and tear too.
Right.
Yeah.
Hey, guys, you know, one of the greatest points was brought up to me by an older gentleman that I talked baseball with about, you know, about fannies in the seats and attendance and all that in baseball and others, mostly in baseball. He said to me, if it was so important for the owners to have fans in the stands, why is every stadium that replaces a former smaller than the former?
You're right. That's exactly
you know,
right.
I'll tell you why. Bill Giles explained that.
I have a feeling I know the answer, but I want to hear it.
When they built Citizens Bank Park, there was no way that they could create interest in buying tickets when you had a 65,000-seat stadium, and they know that they can walk up at game time and buy a ticket. They wanted to eliminate that and make you buy tickets ahead of time or season tickets or whatever, and that's why they're all going to smaller stadiums.
And it also eliminates the fan that might not have the spending money to buy it from the concession stands and stuff. They want people that come in there to spend money. They don't want the guy coming buying $7 tickets.
Right.
So, you know, when we look at numbers, when we look at numbers for attendance, it's all relative to what's the average ticket price, how much money are these people spending on their way through the door.
Yep.
You know, I think this focus on attendance is ridiculous. Now, if you're saying that if Georgia Tech plays at Turner Field, they won't be able to get big games down there, huh?
No. What they're going to do is Georgia State, with Turner Field going away as we know it, they're going to expand Georgia State, which comes down.
Georgia State. Okay.
Yeah, Georgia State, not Georgia Tech. No, they'll still play at Bobby Dodd Field. But because Georgia State now is Division I football, and they're building this stadium for Kennesaw State because they're going to be 1AA, you know, and that school is really booming. But, you know, the other point was good. You had a good point about the smaller state. Look at what they did in St. Louis before they built the new ballpark. They eliminated, about 20,000 seats from the old Memorial Stadium.
Exactly.
Right. The same thing the Phillies did, the same thing the Pirates did, the same thing the Cardinals did. They all cut out the 20,000-25,000 seats in those circular pancakes they had.
Right.
Yeah, I mean,
exactly.
And they also say the most expensive part of building a stadium is those upper decks. You know, the third deck that they eliminated all the stadiums.
Yeah. Well, you
that
know, I'll tell
expensive.
You what, Stevie. Steve Ryan, who's a good friend of mine, used to be with the Eagles. He's VP of business development for the Arizona Cardinals. He was with the Eagles when they built the link. He said that it would have cost $50 million to make that stadium into a dome. An additional $50 million. Now, what is your daughter?
The
center is 12 years old now, right? The link? 12 years. And they are investing $150 million into upgrades in an existing outdoor stadium. So that shows you the way the economy on improvements and construction in 12 years. For $50 million, you could have had a closed roof stadium.
Roger, just to verify what you're saying, you know, the new tennis center in New York and where they play the Open and so forth. Look what they're doing to put a dome on that. I mean, your numbers are light compared to that. They're spending over that amount of money to put the dome on. And I think they start the construction, as soon as the Open is finished this year.
Hey, guys, can I ask you a question? Now, you built two ballparks in Philadelphia. Football stadium and the baseball stadium.
Did they tax Pittsburgh
people for that? Did they tax people for that? Was there a tax out there?
Yeah, part of it was the state of Pennsylvania. They gave an equal amount of money to Pittsburgh to build, the stadiums there, and they gave an equal amount of money to Philadelphia to build the stadiums there, and the rest of it was private.
The rest was private.
Yes. The Phillies had to put in so much money. The Eagles, I think, had to put in so much money.
Okay.
And the same thing over at the, in New York, where the Giants and Jets had to put in a certain amount of money, and the state put it in, and then the taxpayers put it in.
Okay.
Stevie, let me tell you, in Philadelphia, let me tell you what the big change was. The before the new stadiums were built, Ed Snyder and the Flyers had the parking concession for everything. Because he had built Wells Fargo Center. He built that. Well, of course, when they built the new stadium, they say, hey, wait a minute. You know, we're not going to do that. So now each team gets the parking for their venues.
okay, where before it was one entity that got all the parking. Isn't that right, Don?
I believe it is.
Of course, guys, you know, Cleveland built their stadium up there for the Gateway Project. It was called the Syntax. See, it's funny. They put a tax on alcohol and cigarettes in Cuyahoga County. And people were buying the cigarettes, and people were fed up with that tax. They jumped on Lorain County and started purchasing the booze up there and that. So the Indians didn't pay a dime. Just the people of Cuyahoga County wanted to get that land development. Jim, you've been there several times about Jacobs Field now, the pro
right
up there, and that's for the city of Cleveland. Did a great job up there, them and also Gundarina.
Yeah. Well, you know, in Arizona for the big Cardinal Stadium, that was all on a tourist tax.
Yeah, hey guys,
down here, they won't vote any taxes in at all. One person in the state of Florida put a cent in for any sports whatsoever. They just won't do
well,
it.
Well, believe it or not, they just believe it or not, in a very anti-tax, horrible environment similar to Florida and Cleveland, they just extended that sin tax this voting period. They just they voted to extend the sin tax for another 20 years.
Oh, they did?
Yeah, that way they can do all the upgrades to Gundarina and to, so it's,
well,
it's
the
a
best
tax.
Part, but the best part of that is that they only have to worry about parking six cars.
Yeah, that is very true.
Oh, no.
I was there. You know, the funny thing is, you mentioned, you know, you only have to worry about parking six cars. When LeBron James played for the Cavs, they were sold out for 5 years straight. And when Progressive Field opened, it was at Jake, they sold out 455 straight.
That's
so
right. It's still an ongoing record, guys. I remember
that. Boston broke that record. But it's kind of funny how now times have changed, and LeBron James is long gone from Cleveland, and the Cavaliers struggle, and the Indians can't draw anybody, even with Tito in the dugout, you know, and having
right.
a team make the playoffs last year. But stadiums are always interesting in syntax. You know, I always look at taxes, and I love to tell this story, and that is, you know, there was a big flood in Johnstown, PA in the early 1900s. And it devastated the town, and they put a tax on alcohol to rebuild the town, and that tax is still on alcohol to this day.
Well, I'll give you another one, Steve, and that's the Pennsylvania Turnpike. The
turnpike
way up. The attendance make well over six figures.
Mm-hmm.
And the road is not in the best of shape, and yet the tolls keep on going up.
The George Washington Bridge. We have 200,000 cars a day going across the George Washington Bridge, and now it costs you $15.
I know. The Ohio
and they still
Turnpike
haven't gotten it paid.
Yeah,
hey,
Ohio
I'll give you
Turnpike
one.
Was going to be
a
toll road for 10 years.
The city of Miami in 1975 decided that they could not afford to pay for indigent care at Jackson Memorial Hospital. So they put 25 cents a gallon tax on. Today, the Jackson Memorial has almost 13 different buildings. They bought up five different small hospitals, and you still have the 25 cents a gallon tax. That's as good
and
as
you always will,
so,
Frank.
And you always will.
Yep. They never take them off.
Breakaway
is
Rangers. Just score. Oh, Rangers.
I will say one thing. The governor of Georgia, when he was elected, said that the toll on 400, which is the 400 going from the perimeter into the city, that he was going to get away with that because that road had been paid off so many times. And he was right. I think they stopped it in November, and they are in the process of dismantling the toll plaza, and there hasn't been toll since.
Beautiful. That's a beautiful thing. I like stories like that.
They're few and far between, Steve.
Well, yeah, they're few and far.
Roger, update from L.A. Ranger just scored. Palat just scored on the breakaway over Quick's shoulder up 4-0 New York for all you hockey fans out there.
Yeah, I'll tell you, how about the way he split those two defensemen? And
I know, it's fantastic. Of a big forward like that and be quick to the stick side, guys. I mean, it's exciting up there. But you talk about stadiums, I still think the miracle of baseball. Is Stevie Cake agreeing for this? Cleveland Indians still in Cleveland. As I remember sitting up at a catwalk at the old Cleveland Stadium, Mayor White was moments away from saying the team was coming down to St. Pete at Tropicana Field in the Florida Suncoast Dome. I was sitting right next to Mayor White doing an assignment for Florida Radio Network, and he said, the tribe stays. And my heart just sunk all the way down the ground. I said, hey, come down to baseball at Suncoast Dome, watch baseball. Get with baseball down here.
See, that was one of the issues, Tom. Our stadium was 10 years old before we got a team.
Yeah, I know.
I was 10 years old before we got a team down here.
That's
the
Giants,
amazing. The Seattle, the White Sox, they were all coming.
Yes, sir.
They were all coming.
Well, remember.
We played a couple of basketball games. They had what they called the Pepsi Basketball Tournament, and they bring four schools in. The second year of the building was open. And they kept saying, yeah, just like you said, well, the White Sox are going to come down. The Cleveland Indians are going to come down. And the only thing that came down was Phil Esposito and the Lightning.
Right, and well, the only thing that did was get brand-new ballparks for all these other
Great point, Jim.
Chicago got a new ballpark. Seattle got a new ballpark. Mm-hmm. Hawaii got a new ballpark. San Francisco got a new ballpark.
San Francisco had a going-away ceremony, had official uniforms, and had all the old San Francisco and New York Giants on the field. And they actually said goodbye and had a tearful ceremony out at Candlestick. That's how certain they were moving to St. Pete.
Oh.
The taxpayers turned down a referendum for funding five times.
That's right.
Well, Miami. How many times did they turn it down in Miami? And then where do they put it? They put it where the old Orange Bowl used to be.
The old Orange Bowl.
Parking's awful down there, guys. You know that. Parking's terrible.
Oh, the whole area is terrible.
Oh.
I mean, that's sad. That is sad.
Baseball in Florida has never been given a fair shake. They put the Tropicana Field in a desolate area.
Yep.
As far away from people as you could. You build a new stadium in Miami, and it's in the middle of a... It takes an hour to get. I've been down there several times. I hate it. I hate going to that stadium. It's the worst possible location to put a stadium.
But it's a great stadium, though. I mean, when you go in there, it's a terrific stadium. But it's in the wrong place.
Right. I like going into Tropicana Field. I'm very relaxed there. I wish you had a little bit more view to the outside. But I mean, come on. I mean, how come? You know, I would love to see baseball given a fair shot somewhere in the state of Florida. Not put in these, like, out-of-the-sticks locations. I mean, you guys all remember the Richfield Coliseum.
Yes.
That's how I feel.
Right.
That's how I feel going to Tropicana Field. I'm in Riverview. It's about 40 miles one way, but it takes me an hour and 30 minutes from if I leave after work. You know, and it's just like, and then you never know. You know, in the summertime, you're going to get hit with a rainstorm to your drive. Besides having congestion, you're going to get hit with an afternoon rainstorm. You know,
Rangers on a power play, boys.
Yes. Oh, boy. Wait,
Tick-tock. No.
Jim.
Oh boy, almost.
Jim, thanks for coming on the radio show. We have to get you on in a couple of weeks. Talk some more baseball. Always a pleasure, Jim. And thank God you're back to health. Thank the Lord.
Glad your health has returned.
Glad you're back, Jim.
All right, guys. Thanks, everybody. We'll talk again.
Yeah, an exciting game. Join the hockey. Forget the baseball.
They just scored again.
2-0.
Turn the field.
Turn the field. It's a beautiful venue, but it's a nightmare to get there.
Yep.
Yes. And Stevie K, I will send you the clips after the game. Thank you for coming on. Of course, our Philadelphia legend Don Henderson, always a pleasure, and Roger Hendler, always a pleasure, guys. We'll talk to you next week, and God bless.
Okay, take care. Have a great week, guys. God bless.
Great week, guys.
Enjoy it,
everyone.
Great.
Take care.
Jimmy, thank you very much.
And
glad
Frank
you're good
is
health
the man.
Again, and we'll talk next week.
Yes, sir. Have a great weather up in New Jersey, Don. Well, guys, what a show. It's a lot of thanks. I'd like to thank Philadelphia legend Don Henderson, or Atlanta legend Roger Hendler, Stevie K. Come on, Jim McKean. Thank God Jim's back to health. Matt Gary, owner of All Sports Arena. We'd like to thank the Tampa Bay Rays for having us here at Patty's Bar. Lawrence Samuels, head coach of the Tampa Bay Storm. And also Roy Cummings for the Tampa Tribune. I'd like to thank Tampa Bay Golf and Country. Give Jim Baker a call, 352-588-5454. The Abbey Course, give Tom a call. We have a foursome for what is $11 a person. Give him a call, 352-588-2016. Frank, I will see you Saturday night, sir, for dinner. Big game for the Tampa Bay Storm. Come see us. Call 813-301-6600. Razor home for Seattle 410. And Seattle series right now, come out to see the race. So Tampa Bay sports activities get busy this summer, Frank. God bless, and thank you again, sir. Great job as always.
Okay, thanks, Tommy. Ladies and gentlemen, these programs are brought to you each and every night of the week. Appreciation of the men and women of the United States Armed Forces, men and women of police and fire services. When you're out there and you see someone in a uniform, please just take a minute to say thank you. It means the world good to all of us. To those who've lost their lives in defending the country, we thank you and your families. For those who've lost their lives in the line of duty, Deputy Robert Anthony Carroll, Patrolman David Curtis, Patrolman Jeffrey Colcap, Sergeant Thomas Badinger, Patrolman Jeffrey Yazowitz, Patrolman David Crawford, Detective Randy Bell, Detective Ricky Childers, San Diego Officer Mike Hendler, Lieutenant Mike Zerba, Newcastle County Police, Patrolman Anafa Crispin, Lakeland PD, Deputy Barbara Pell, Broward County Sheriff's Office, Chief Al Hogle, Longboat Key Police Department, Chief Jimmy Ford, Wilmington Fire Department, Highway Patrolman Alonzo Moses, Philadelphia Police Department, Highway Patrolman Brian Lazaro, Philadelphia Highway Patrol, Highway Patrolman Brian Murphy, Plymouth Township PD, Highway Patrol, Lieutenant Bob Neary, Philadelphia Fire Department, Deputy Chief Mike Godwin, Philadelphia Fire Department, MIT Officer Sean Collier, Sergeant Mike Wilson, Charlotte County Sheriff's Office, Deputy Jonathan Scott Payne, Orange County Sheriff's Office, Officer Robert Germain, Windermere, Florida PD, Florida Highway Trooper Chelsea Richards, Florida Highway Patrol. My brothers and sisters, although you may be 10-7 at this point in time, at some time we'll be 10-10 at the table of the Lord. Until that time, may the waves rise up to meet you. May the winds be always at your back. May the rains fall softly on your fields and the sun shine softly on your face. Until we meet again, may the good Lord keep you and your families always in the hollow of his hands. Good night.
Shem alek ma yilama, shem ahezah yilama, son ashen evorat fet hakuig again ma yilama.
dispatched in 1999. County dispatched in 1999. County dispatched in 1999. All units be advised, 1999, last call to duty, 19 June 2011. May God rest his soul. Love you.